It's warm, so we won't try not to keep it too long, although I'll just let you know, at camp last week, I had a full hour to speak to the kids, so I won't be a full hour tonight, trust me. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them to Matthew 25. I'm just going to read a little passage here in a second, kind of as a start to what I want to share with tonight. I'm going to read a couple of passages just to get things underway. But I was at camp, as most of you know, last week, and last Saturday, I just want to share a little thing with you. Last Saturday, I went down to camp to take the trailer down. I took my trailer to spend some time in it, so I went down Saturday to get it set up so I wouldn't have to rush down Sunday and try and do all that. And so Saturday, I get down there, and I just took a walk around. There wasn't a soul around the grounds. The place was quiet. I was just walking around. I was actually telling Harry this last week, and I was just walking around looking at the camp and how great of a ministry it has been and we trust will continue to be. And I kind of walked down, if you're familiar with it, I walked down kind of towards the water where the fire pit is and was just kind of looking back on the camp. And for whatever reason, I just looked and said, Lord, what am I doing here? I thought, you know, there's so many other people. Why me? There's so many other people that are tons more capable than I am. And I just kind of wondered, you know, what am I doing here? But anyway, and this big booming voice replied, no, not really. Just a little still small voice just kind of came back to me in the back of my mind as I kind of looked over the camp and said, you know what? I'm willing to use those who are willing. I'll use whoever's willing. And, you know, it kind of just sat in my mind, not that I'm anything great or anything special, but it's just good to know that the Lord will use those of us who are willing. And, you know, there's lots of ministry, there's lots of opportunity that we can be involved in, and it just takes a matter of being willing. And I don't tell you anything just to brag or anything like that. That's not my point. My point is just that God uses ordinary people, just like you and me. So often, even tonight, I kind of was standing here and I was thinking, you know, how inadequate sometimes I feel in presenting the Word of God, but yet God will use those of us who are willing. And I think tonight, as you'll understand, this message tonight probably is for me more than anybody. And usually those of us, if any of you men who speak up here, that's usually the way it ends up being. It's more of a message for ourselves than for anybody. But I trust tonight as we open God's Word, we'll learn some things as well, and we'll glean some truths from his word. But Matthew 25, verse 31. I just want to read a few little verses here, and I just want to share something again as well to go along with this. It says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. He shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and we gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye've done it unto me. Verse 40 is what I was thinking of just to kind of get started this evening. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And what started me thinking about this verse and kind of where I'm going tonight, as most of you probably are aware, and there's usually a little group, there's usually a half a dozen of them or so that show up sometimes, it seems, the last few years that show up on the island that are out standing in the medians on the roads. They've got little signs looking for money, saying they're traveling, broke, homeless. You know, I was seeing them there, and probably you're sitting there coming up with some opinions as to those people that are there, why they're there, all sorts of reasonings. And I've done the same thing, sitting there thinking, you know, what's with these people and what's that all about and what are they out there doing? And you know what? The Lord just pricked in my heart and he said, you know what? You've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. I don't know what their needs are and why they're there or anything like that, but I think the Lord just kind of softened my heart a little bit to cause me to realize, you know what? He loves people. God loves people. He loves them just as much as he loved me. And for the grace of God, it could be one of us out there in the same situation. You know, I thought of this verse, when we've done stuff and when we do things unto the very least of these, my brethren, who are we doing it unto? We do it as unto the Lord. So often we forget about that. And I couldn't get them out of my mind, and I couldn't get this verse out of my mind just in regards to that and how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves each and every one of us on this earth. So I was thinking of that, and I was thinking of what I could share with you this evening, and I guess the Lord's been working in my own heart to soften me. And if you have your Bibles, turn over to John 20, and we're going to read a couple of verses at the end of 20 and then into 21. I'm going to share some things from, particularly from John 21. And while you're turning there, and it's good to hear the rustling of the pages, the Word of God, while you're turning there, we were at camp this week, and I had the opportunity of sharing with about 65 young people. And I had a great week. I don't know about the kids, but I had a great week getting to know them and to being able to share the Word of God with them. And on Thursday night was the kind of the cap for me. I was able to lead a young man to the Lord on Thursday night. So we were kind of doing a little bit of entertaining angels that night. And as one sinner repents, the heavens rejoice. So it was a great night. We had a great week. And I thank the Lord for those of you that prayed for me this week and for the camp. And we need to continue to pray for the camp. Cliff's down there this week, and we trust young people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that have will grow in him and want to go on to serve him. And I was down there this week, too. Just a little side note, I was thinking of this as well, that out of the blue, all of a sudden, there was five ladies showed up through the middle of the week, and I'm looking around like, what are they? I wonder what they're doing here. So anyway, there was five ladies showed up, and I'll not mention their names. The Lord knows who they are. And I thought it was just tremendous. They drove all the way down to camp, and you know what they did? They got a bunch of strawberries ready for camp. That's all they did. They come down, spent an hour and a bit, got some strawberries, took them longer to drive down and back than it did to do the strawberries. But I thought how neat it is that so many people are involved in the camp and in the work there. And it was great to see the people doing things for the Lord. To our passage, John 20, verse 30. It says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." With that, let's just open a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us as we look at his word this evening. Father, once again, it's always a privilege to be able to open your word, and we thank you that each one of us really have our own copy of your word. And so often, Father, we go home with it and we'll just sit it on the shelf and never open it again, never touch it again until the following Sunday. And Father, just stir in our hearts to want to get to know you through your word. We thank you for it. We thank you that it's a personal letter to each and every one of us, that we can learn so much about you, learn about your love, about your Son, the Lord Jesus. And as we open it tonight, may we learn some valuable truths from it. Just speak through me to these people. We thank and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. There are many signs and things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, as it's very clear in verse 30 that he did, that were not written in this book. But the Word of God was written for you and for me, and I shared last week with the young people that it's a personal letter from God to each and every one of us. And one of the focus points of the Word of God is so that we will get to know God and that we will get to know the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. And there was approximately 35 miracles, roughly, I believe, that are recorded in the Word of God that Jesus, and I hate to use the word perform, but that Jesus did throughout his ministry, because I don't want it to sound like a performance that he was performing for people, but the miracles that he did for people are recorded in the Word of God, that people will know that he is God the Son, that he is God. He was on a mission when he was here on the earth, and his ultimate purpose was to die on the cross to provide salvation for each and every one of us. And of course, the things that are written in the Word of God, if everything that he did when he was here on the earth was written, it would take volumes of books in order to contain all of it. But what I want to do is read down through chapter 21, and then we'll get into some things, and hopefully we'll learn some lessons tonight as we go through. So John 21, verse 1 says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, We will also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with fish. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, the fish laid on thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of these disciples durst ask who thou wert, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This now is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and others shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loveth following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? That this is the disciple which testifieth to these things and wrote these things, and he knew that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which it should be written in every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books written there that should be written. Amen. The Word of God, God's message to you and to me, and these events that take place ought to be looked at very carefully and closely in the Word of God. When I read verse 1, I was reading it, and it says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and I'm like, when was the first time he showed them at the Sea of Tiberias? Because I was trying to figure that out, and it kind of stumped me for a second. I kind of got hung up on that for a second, and I was thinking, you know, what's that about? And then I read the next part of the verse, and it says, On this wise showed he himself. And if you look at that, really what John is saying is that Jesus showed himself again, because this is the third time that John records that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after his death and resurrection. So here, John is just reminding us that after these things, Jesus is showing himself to the disciples. And here's what's going to unfold. The last part of verse 1 says, on this wise showed he himself. So here's what's going to happen. And again, when the Word of God has stories and has accounts in it, we need to take hold of them and we need to realize that these are the Word of God and that it's true. It's not some story, it's not some fable, it's not a fairy tale, it's not something that's made up, but it's the Word of God. So here we find Jesus showing himself again unto the disciples, and John is getting ready to relay what took place that day. And it's interesting to note that this passage is probably the most lengthy passage out of all the accounts where Jesus showed himself to the disciples. So it must have been an important part for John to write this much about what took place. So here we find in verse 2, seven of the disciples together. And there was Simon, Peter, there was Thomas, Didymus, called Didymus, Nathanael, and then the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples who were not named here. So they were together, and I was wondering, you know, where one thing was where's the other disciples at, and where are they at, and we're not told here in this account where they were. So I assume that these disciples were together here, and most of these disciples were from Cana of Galilee, so what they ended up doing was probably going back home, because after all the events that took place, the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, these guys were with Jesus how long? For 3 years plus. So if they were with the Lord Jesus that long, now all of a sudden Jesus is gone. Kind of their leader was gone. They were spent all this time with him. And I guess if it was like me, it'd be like, well, what now? What do we do now? Jesus is gone. Where do we go? What do we do? So I think they just went back home, wondering, trying to figure out what to do. Now, we know the Lord commanded some of the things for them to do and what they should be doing. But still, it's kind of like, where do we go? What do we do? So we find them back in Cana of Galilee, back there. And in verse 3, it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. Now, we know they're all fishermen, or at least most of them were fishermen. So what would they naturally do? Go back fishing, I guess. They didn't know anything else what to do. They were probably wondering, you know, the Lord's gone, what do we do? And some people say, and there's been speculation that they went back out of the will of God. They didn't, they're not where they should have been. And I don't know if that's the case or not. I just kind of think they went back to naturally what they were accustomed to doing. And I was thinking about that, you know, the same kind of with me. I spent the last week at camp serving the Lord and ministering for him there. And then it's kind of like, well, now what? Well, tomorrow I'll end up going back to work, unless the Lord has some other plans for me. But it's kind of the same. I kind of related that kind of the same, and I might be wrong on that, but I kind of got, that's the way I looked at it, is they decided to go fishing because they had nothing else. They didn't know what else to do. And I think they were kind of at the point in their lives where they weren't sure what to do. So Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they said unto him, we will also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they went fishing, and they caught nothing, zero, absolutely nothing. They fished all night, never caught a thing. So that's why some speculate that they weren't in the will of the Lord. But we also know that sometimes we'll do things for the Lord that we do it on our own, and we accomplish nothing. So I'm not sure what the parallel is there. You can take it for your own. But where else is another account where we learn that they fished all night and caught nothing? Over in Luke 5, Peter was out. The Lord told him to cast his net out. He said, well, Master, I've toiled all night and have taken nothing. There may be times in our lives where we'll do things and we'll seem to have accomplished nothing. And then I thought of this verse, and I thought, don't be discouraged, because in Psalms 121, 1 and 2, it says, lift up your eyes to the hills. Whence cometh my help? Where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Sometimes we forget about it, that it's him. And if we do things for him, we'll accomplish a lot. Verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciple knew not that it was Jesus. Morning came, fished all night, caught nothing. Then we find Jesus standing on the shore. And they didn't know it was him. Now, I'm not sure whether They just didn't recognize him, whether the way the sun was, or they weren't really paying attention, or they were tired, or what the reasoning was why they didn't know him, or whether the Lord didn't want them to know who he was right off the bat. I'm not sure. But there's the Lord Jesus Christ on the shore. And in verse 5, Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And I kind of thought, you know, that's kind of an interesting question. Have ye any meat? And still they hadn't realized who he was because they just answered him, no. You know, hey guys, have you caught anything? And I wondered, would they not question that a little bit maybe? Children, have you any meat? They just commonly said no. Probably a common question if you're out seeing fishermen out, what's the biggest question they're asked? Catch anything? So it's probably maybe just because it was a common question for most people of the day. They're out fishing. Somebody roared out and asked them if they caught anything. And their answer was no. They never caught a thing. Verse 6 says, And they said unto them, and he said unto them, Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. So right then and there, I was thinking, well, man, why wouldn't they have realized it then, even then? I mean, where have they heard that before? Where's Peter heard that before? Still, they didn't clue in right away. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So they did what they were told. Got a multitude of fishes that they were hardly able, they weren't even able to draw the nets in because of the excess of fish. And then I think the light clicked on to John. And I think John probably got excited. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved say, Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it, he girded himself, grabbed his coat, and he cast himself into the sea, and I don't know how he got there, if he floundered in or if he swam in or how he got there, but he was excited, realizing it was the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard it, he was gone. But you know what? It took them a miracle to realize that it was God, didn't it? It took them to realize that they couldn't hardly draw the fish in, realizing that it was the Lord Jesus on the shore. And you know what? Sometimes it takes a miracle, or sometimes it takes something miraculous in our lives for us to realize that it's Jesus. So often we should be able just to hear that still small voice. We should be able to recognize him. And it's interesting that after spending that length of time with the Lord Jesus, sitting at his feet, ministering with him, walking with him, talking with him, that they really didn't recognize him or didn't know who it was at first. And I guess we can get something like that sometimes in our own lives. We can live for the Lord, we can love the Lord, serve the Lord for a number of years in our lives. And it gets to the point where we sometimes miss when he's talking to us. And we're not paying attention. And we're not listening to him. Verse 8, the other disciples came out in a little ship, dragging the nets full of fish to the shore. As it says, they were approximately 300 feet off the shore. And they drug the nets in with a multitude of fishes. And in verse 9, it says, And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it thereon. So I was thinking about that. They came to shore. Here's a fire going. Fish there. Bread. Everything. Where'd it come from? Who prepared it? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about that, how often the Lord Jesus Christ meets our physical needs. He'll always provide for our needs. We so often forget about that, that it's him who provides for us. He provides everything. And this last week we were going through Adam and Eve and the garden and all the beginnings and talking about God and getting to know who God is at camp with the young people. And one of the things I stressed is that when God put Adam in the garden of Eden, Adam had everything he needed. There was absolutely nothing in the garden that he didn't need. And so often God will do that in our own lives. He'll provide everything that we absolutely need. We're the ones that go after things that we want, things that we may not need, but be assured that God will always provide for our needs. Here he provided for their physical needs. Verse 10 and 11, Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. I wonder why Jesus asked them to bring the fish to him. I'm not sure why. Maybe verse 11 holds the answer, just to count them, see how many's there, to realize that the nets are full, and also maybe to realize who the fish came from. The fish didn't come from anybody else, but from the Lord Jesus. And it also came because of their obedience, because they threw the nets down the other side, on the right side. They followed Jesus' command. You know, when we do what the Lord says, when we obey the Lord Jesus, do what he asks, we'll accomplish great things for him, and our nets will be full. We so often try and do things in our own strength and in our own power and in our own time instead of doing it on God's time and for God. Why 153 fish? Why that number? I've read a couple of spots where some was meaning the number of languages in the world at the time. Was another suggestion that it could be the number of tribes or people the gospel then would be reached over the next period of time. Even the number of types of fish that are in the Sea of Galilee, but we're not told exactly what the meaning is of the 153 fish, but maybe just to show that it's the Lord Jesus, that it's from him. Show what obedience will do. Verse 12 says, "And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And not one of the disciples asked him who he was, knowing it was the Lord." Think of the excitement these disciples would have had now. They get into shore, realizing who it was the Lord Jesus. They spent 3.5 years roughly with him. Now they got to be with him again. They must have thought it was going to be like old times again, having the Lord around all the time. Jesus prepared breakfast for them. And again, the example of the Lord Jesus in his servanthood, serving others. Jesus in verse 13 says, "Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise." Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples that he was risen from the dead. The Lord Jesus here was a true servant. Then it goes back to Matthew 24 verse 40. "When we've done it to the very least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Are we following after Christ's example of being a servant, meeting the needs of people, helping people? Do we have a tender heart towards people like the Lord Jesus Christ did? Verse 15, "So when they had dined, when they had breakfast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." So Jesus took care of the physical needs in the first 14 verses, basically. Now from here, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to deal with the spiritual needs. So Jesus talks directly to Peter, wanting to know if he loved him more than these. I wondered what these were, what the word these. Do you love me more than these? I didn't know whether he meant his disciples or whether he meant the fish that were there, because the Lord Jesus asked him to bring the fish to him. Now, I often wondered if that's kind of relating it to our work. I know for me it was. Do you love me more than work? Is work more important than me? Money, profit, what's more important? Do you love me more than these? Peter says, "I do. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto them, "Feed my lambs." Feed the lambs, the young ones in the flock. Be an example. And I just put down beside it, lead. We ought to lead the young ones. Then in verse 16 it says, "And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Peter was a leader, and we can see that because when Peter was in verse 3, he said he was going fishing, who went with him? All the other disciples. There was no question, they all immediately went. I think the Lord knew what Peter was like, and I figured that if the Lord got a hold of the life of Peter as a leader, he'd have the rest of them no problem. And sometimes the Lord will raise up leaders that people will follow, and I think Peter was one of those leaders, a shepherd in a spiritual sense to feed the sheep. People need to be loved. People need to be shown Christ's love in the flock as well. They need to be led. They need to be loved. And then in verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And I know there's a difference between the love that Peter was talking about in phileo love and then the love that Christ was talking about in agape love, but I wasn't really going to get into too much of that this evening. I just wanted to touch on the fact that the Lord was directing these questions at Peter. And he saith unto him in verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, you know everything. Why are you asking me again? Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him the third time, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. In service, there's labor. There's labor for the Lord. It's hard work, but obedience to him produces results if it's done for him. You know, and I thought about that. Peter was grieved because he was asked a third time. And where do we know that there was a three occasion in Peter's life when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ? So I think Peter's kind of realizing maybe now what the Lord Jesus Christ, in a small sense, felt when Peter denied him. Peter denied him that third time, and the look, it says there that the Lord looked on Peter. You could just see the hurt in the eyes of the Lord Jesus when Peter denied him that third time. Now, often maybe if that's the reason why the Lord asked him the three times if he loved him. He said, Lord, you know I loved him. He was grieved in his heart. You know, our time is getting close to being done, and I was going to go down through the rest of this chapter, but I think this is more of a personal, practical message for me than more than anybody. Because what I ended up doing when I was reading down through this and thinking of what I could share with you is this week, going back to Matthew 24 or 25, verse 40. 24 verse 40. And then having put my name in front of these questions that the Lord asked Peter, I just put my name in there and I said, David, do you love me more than these? And I was wondering how often I don't love the Lord. I don't do the things that I ought to for the Lord. Do you love me above your work? Do you love me above everything else? And you know, when I was asked at first, and this is kind of a little bit of a wake-up call for me too, when I was kind of asked at first about speaking at camp, I was kind of grit at the teeth a little bit and said, you know, yeah, I do it. But I was like, in the back of my mind, in all honesty, I was sitting there thinking, well, now I got to take a week off work. We're probably going to be busy. And that was kind of the first little response. And then I could hear in the back of my mind the echo from the Lord, do you love me more than these? There's more to work. There's more to life. And there's nothing more better than to serve the Lord. Do you love me? Follow me. You know, my attitude soon changed once I got that over that little hump, knowing that when we do things for the Lord, the nets will be full. It's easy to deny the Lord. Peter, when he was there, pretty easy to deny him. It's a lot tougher to say, I love you, I'll serve you, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. So why go to camp? I went to camp to serve the Lord. Not to make myself look good or any other reason, And I don't say any of this to make you think any that I'm high and mighty or anything like that. I think the Lord just dealt with me and saying to me that you need to love me above everything else. You need to serve me and do things for me, and together we can accomplish some things. You know, if I hadn't gone to camp last week, I wouldn't have had the opportunity of sharing the gospel, wouldn't have had the opportunity of leading that young boy to Christ. He may have missed out on an opportunity because I wasn't doing and wasn't in the place where God wanted me. There's so many opportunities where we can serve the Lord. There's young people out there, there's adults, there's friends, there's family of ours that need to hear about the message of the Lord. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Where are you at with all this? Do you love the Lord? Do you love him? And what kind of love do you love him with? He loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross and provide salvation for each and every one of us. And I always go back to the same thing that I think of, is he did all that for me. Why can't I serve him a little bit here on the earth and do what he asks? Be a part of his work. As the old song says, I will serve him because I love him. When that happens again, obedience will fill the nets. Not because of us, but because of him. Do you love him? I trust you do, and I trust you'll be a part of his ministry and want to get involved in some things. Not for any other reason, but because you love him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you that you loved us that much that you sent your son to die on the cross and provide salvation. Father, thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit and dealing with us and helping us realize that serving you, living for you, is the most important thing and the best thing we could ever do in life. We thank you how you meet not only our physical needs, but you meet our spiritual needs. That you care for us, that you love us. We're so grateful and thankful for who you are and for what you can accomplish in our lives. In spite of who we are, you want to just use us. Use those of us who are willing. Father, may we be a willing people and see great things for you. We see people come to a saving knowledge of you as a result of us being willing. When we've done it to the very least of these, my brethren, we've done it unto you. We thank and praise you for the great God you are. In Christ's name, amen.